Right? Because masaib come. Masaib means musibat, and urdu means difficulty, test, trial, affliction, setback. So how do we know? Has this difficulty come to me as a punishment for sins that I did? Or is this difficulty like this that is coming to me actually because Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive me for my sins by giving me this difficulty, this worry? So it's very easy. Our mashayikh have explained to us how to tell the difference. This is why we need our awliya mashayikh. They explain these things to us. First difference, that if when that difficulty comes to you and the effect it has on you is that your ibadat goes down, you start praying less nafil, you start making less dua, you're seen less in the masjid, somebody asks you that, oh, I haven't seen you for a few days, you say, yes, I'm having a tough time at business, make dua for me, everything gets better soon, so you'll see me again. If your ibadat goes down, that is a sign that that difficulty has come to you as a punishment for your sin. Why did your ibadat go down? And the other way around, if that difficulty comes to you and you start making more ibadah, so before you used to make farz, now you're praying tahajjud. Before you used to just come to the masjid, pray salah and leave, now you linger back a little bit, you keep sitting on the musalla, you're turning more to Allah, making more dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before you just gave zakat, now you're giving sadaqah. This is a sign that that punishment and that difficulty came to you not as a punishment for sins, but actually as a means of forgiveness for your sins, to raise you in your darajat, in your qurb to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second sign is that when that difficulty comes, look in your heart, how do you feel about Allah ta'ala? If in your heart, when you were having the tough time, you asked this question even silently, even in the bottom of your heart, that Allah, why me? Why is this happening to me? I don't understand. Why is this happening to me? I pray salah. I went for hajj. What's going on? If in your heart you had the slightest questioning or na'udhu billah doubting, then that is a sign that that difficulty came as a punishment for your sin. Means even that if you became slightly less pleased with Allah Ta'ala, or if you slightly love Allah Ta'ala less, that's a sign that the difficulty came as a punishment for your sin. And if actually you say no, no matter how much tough times I'm in, it doesn't affect my love for Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, I love you as much now as I did when I was in the good times. Allah Ta'ala, I'm as pleased with you and as happy with you now as I was when I was in the good times. Why? Because that's real love. Real love means that Allah Ta'ala, I love you not just because of what you do for me. I love you not just because of what you do for me. I love you for who you are. Yes, that's what people say to each other in this world, right? Honey, I love you for who you are. Don't worry if you didn't do this. It's okay, I love you anyway, because I love you for who you are. This is true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, I don't love you just because of what you do for me. Because if that's the case, then when you're in good times, you will love Allah more. And when Allah ta'ala tests, you will love Allah less. So if you find in your heart that I still love Allah ta'ala as much, then that's a sign that this difficulty did not come as a punishment for sin. This difficulty came to reward you and actually have forgive you for your sins. Third sign, that if when that difficulty comes, test, trial, tribulation comes, and it's accompanied with zillah, you're humiliated in front of even one person, there is some shame, some embarrassment, some exposure, some disgrace, then that is a sign that that difficulty came as a punishment for our sins. And if no, you retain your izzah, you remain in honor, that there was no humiliation, no degradation, no disgrace, then that's a sign that that sin came not as a punishment, but as a means to help us save ourselves from the consequences of sin. This is why Sayyidina Rasulullah, he for example taught us that illness, that when a person is sick, Allah Ta'ala sheds their sins the way the tree sheds leaves in the winter, just by being sick. So that sends a difficulty. So sometimes when a difficulty comes, our Shaykh, he explained in a beautiful way, that aapne shayad is musibat ko khud mangiya. You may actually have made dua yourself for this difficulty. So people says, why? Because you made dua for Jannat and you still had these sins. So Allah accepted your dua. He wanted to give you Jannah, but He sent this difficulty on you in order to alleviate you, relieve you from this burden of sin. So actually you prayed for this difficulty. You actually made dua for this difficulty. Allahu Akbar. Ajeeb. So now that our Mashiach opened up for us, it's easy for us. You can cheat. Nathan, yes, you can work it backwards. Next time any difficulty happens to you, make sure your ibadah goes up. Don't let it go down. Next time any difficulty happens to you, make sure you keep loving Allah Ta'ala. Don't let your love for Him go down. Make you fully pleased with Him. Don't let yourself be less pleased to Him. So this was the sixth way of the 10 ways that our consequences of sin can be removed. Now the next four are a bit intense. Number 7. مَا يَحْصُلُ فِي الْقَبْرِ مِنَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَالْزَغْتَةِ. This is called زَغْتَةِ الْقَبْرِ. Means Allah Ta'ala will also forgive a person. One of the means Allah Ta'ala has made for this person to be forgiven for sins is the constriction of the grave. That if a person showed up with some sins still left in their grave, Allah Ta'ala will give them some torment, some constriction. Zagta means some constriction. Sometimes you can say, like in this world, sometimes somebody massages you. Actually, it's outwardly they're giving you pain, but actually it's done to give you relief. So like that, Allah Ta'ala will make the grave constrict some of the sinning believers in order to make that a means also to forgive them for their sins. Allahu Akbar. Ajeeb. 8th way. أهوال يوم القيامة وقربها وشدائدها. That on the day of judgment when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the intense nature of that experience, the terror we will feel on that day, the sweat we will sweat on that day. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, it is such a terrifying day that that woman who is pregnant, she will instantly give birth to that baby. Instant miscarriage of baby. Just out of fear of Allah Ta'ala on that day. The azmat of Allah Ta'ala, the haybat, the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be so much on that day. So that feeling of awe and fear that we feel on that day is actually also a way to get our sins forgiven. Allahu Akbar. Wa shada'iduha means the intensity of that day, the intense experience of that day, just that Allah will say, okay, you're forgiven for your sins because you went through this experience. Allahu Akbar. Ajeeb. 8th way that sins can be forgiven. 9th way that sins can be forgiven. So first was Tawbah. 2nd was Istighfar. 3rd was to make good deeds that remove the bad deeds. 4th was Dua of a believer for their fellow believer. 5th was Isali Sawab, that after a person passes away, somebody does some good deeds for you. 6th was that Allah Ta'ala sends some difficulty on us as a means of relieving us for our sin. And 7th was the constriction of the grave. And 8th was the intense experience of the Day of Judgment. 9th way that Allah Ta'ala can forgive us for our sins. That means if a person goes through all of this process, does all of this, they made tawbah in life, made istighfar, people made dua for them, people even did isal aswar for them, even they were constricted in the grave, even they had some good deeds to their record, even Allah Ta'ala had sent some difficulties on them, even they went through the intense experience of Day of Judgment, and still they weren't entirely forgiven. Still there were some sins that were remaining. So now there's two special asbab that Allah Ta'ala will use to forgive them for the remaining sins. Two special ways. What is that? So number 9 in the first of those special ways, Shafa'atun Nabiyyi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Shafa'atun Nabiyyi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that after all this, somebody still has some sins. And listen to the ajeeb thing Nabiyyi Kareem Sallam said in Sahih Hadith. What did he say? Shafa'ati la ahlil kibairi min ummati. La ahlil kibair. For the ones who do kabira guna, for the ones who did such an intense sin that their tawbah still couldn't wipe it away entirely, their istighfar still couldn't wipe it away entirely, they did such a big sin that even though they did good deeds in their life, it couldn't wipe away the sin entirely. They did such a big sin that even though so many people came in their janazah, it couldn't wipe the sin away entirely. They did such a big sin that even they had some friends and family who did isal aswab to them, it couldn't wipe away the sin entirely. They did such a big sin, even they were constricted in the grave, but that couldn't wipe away their sin entirely. They did such a big sin that they were sweating, and terrified on the day of judgment. Even that could not wipe away their sin entirely. They did such a big sin, even though Allah Ta'ala sent them difficulties in life, that couldn't wipe away their sin entirely. They still have this kabira sin. They are called Ahlul Kabair from the Ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then I will be the one who will help them. Shafa'ati lil Ahlul Kabair min Ummati. That my intercession with Allah Ta'ala, my pleading with Allah Ta'ala to forgive them, is what will enable them to be forgiven from that intense sin that they did. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Ajib, up till now maybe we thought that Nabi's shafa will be for the muttaqeen, that shafa'at will be for the salihin. Prophet himself saying that my shafa will be for the Ahli Kibair. Allahu Akbar. He's a true lover. He was our true lover. Nabi Akhlism loved us to no end. Allah Ta'ala saying, Harisun. He's crazy mad about you. Allah Ta'ala saying on Quran. That's how much he loves you. Listen to another hadith that the Prophet said, Khuyirat. I was given a choice that either I can make half my ummah enter Jannah, or I can take shafa'a. I was given a choice by Allah Ta'ala. So the Prophet said, فَأَخْتَرْتُ شَفَاءَةَ. I chose, rather I make shafa'a. Why? لِأَنَّهَا أَعَمُّ وَأَكْثَرُ. That it will give more widespread benefit, وَأَكْثَرُ, more people will go into Jannah. Now let's think about this mathematically. Half the ummah, what would that mean? So today there's 1.2 billion, but we've been around for 1400 years. 50 years ago there was a different 1 billion. 50 years ago there was a different 1 billion. So I would say, roughly speaking, it's about 40 billion Muslims up till now. And Allah knows best how long this world is going to last. Maybe 100 billion. Let's say 100 billion. We can take a rough figure. 100 billion people in the ummah. 50 billion could have gone to Jannah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that I chose shafa'a instead. Why? Because it's a'ammu wa akthar. Means more than 50 billion. So what does that mean? Can you imagine this, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? This is going to take place individually. For 50 billion sinning believers, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going to search them, and one by one for each of the 50 billion do shafa for them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will delay his entry into Jannah to go to 50 billion super sinners, Ahlul Kabair. 50 billion super sinners of his ummah, and for each one he will have to pray to Allah Ta'ala. Who knows? Allah Ta'ala may make the Prophet pray 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 1 hour. The Prophet keep praying for that person. He's not going to make just one dua. He will keep pleading with Allah, keep pleading with Allah, keep pleading with Allah. That one shafa is done. He will go to the next one, keep pleading to Allah, keep pleading to Allah, keep pleading to Allah. That one is done. And the Nabi will keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. This is also sahih hadith. The Prophet knew, Allahu Akbar, أَنَّهَا أَعَمُّ وَأَكْثَرُ, more than half. Allahu Akbar Kabira. This is what Nabi Akhism plan is for us on the Day of Judgment. Could we not also plan to show up with a good book of deeds for him? And let me tell you something. We don't believe that Nabi Akhism knows everything about us right now. He doesn't. He doesn't know everything. He doesn't have that ilmul ghaib. But on the Day of Judgment, every ummati's hisab will be taken in front of their Nabi. On that day, Sayyidina Rasulullah will know and will see every single thing that you and me did. Even if Allah forgives it, that's a separate thing. But it will be shown to him. Can you imagine? I want you to imagine. I'm going to make a scene. I'm constructing a story for you. Scene. That Nabi Akhrim Sassam sees. Oh, on Day of Judgment, look at this person. He looks like he's from my ummah because he has my sunnah. So Nabi Akhrim gets happy that he has my sunnah. And then the book of deeds gets opened up. Allahu Akbar. And then Nabi Akhrim will be amazed that he had my sunnah. And look what he did. He had my sunnah. And he used to look at those things on the screen. He had my sunnah. He used to smoke outside the masjid. He had this and he did this. Can you imagine how stunned the Prophet will be? First, he will be so happy. Look at this ummati of mine with my sunnah. And then the hisab will start. Allahu Akbar Kabira. You don't realize, No son likes to be embarrassed in front of his parents. No son wants to be embarrassed in front of his mother. Why is it that we are ready to be embarrassed in front of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We should beg Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, delete. Ya Allah, delete these things from my book. Because on that day of judgment, this book is going to be shown in front of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This Allama Iqbal had a famous poem about this. It's this poem that made Allama Iqbal beloved to the ulama and awliya and mashayikh. He said that, Ya Allah, I just explained to you in English. He said, Ya Allah, if when you take my hisab on the day of judgment, Ya Allah, I ask that you veil this hijab from Nabi Akram. Veil this hisab from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I just ask you one thing. I only ask you one thing. Do with me whatever you're going to do. Just don't do it in front of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Ajeeb. This is real deen. Real deen. This day is really going to happen. Day of judgment is going to happen. Our hisab will be taken. Sayyidina Susum will be standing there. I mean, hosh ka banga. When are we going to realize this? Everything we do will be recorded and stored and replayed. Instant replay of our life. Can you imagine Nabi Akram seeing a replay of the things that we do? The things that we did when we were alone in the secrecy of our room, in the privacy of the night. We could hide it in this world. It's going to be exposed on that day. There will be no, we will feel no greater shame than that. Yes, we would be ashamed if our mother saw it. We would be ashamed if our murid saw it. We would be ashamed if our sheikh saw it. We would be ashamed that the people we used to do dawah to, the people thought that we were da'i, if they saw it, this will be all shameful. But can you imagine the level of shame? When Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to see it. That Nabi who used to cry for his ummah, Ya Rabbi ummati, ummati, ummati. That Nabi who went out in Medan, he was willing to give his own life in Badr and Uhud for the sake that deen would remain and deen would reach us. He was even willing to give that. He didn't go in the back, he went out also. Allahu Akbar. And this is what we do. We're going to show up with those deeds. We have to take our deen very seriously, seriously, seriously. Yawm al-Deen. Allahu Akbar. And the tenth way that Allah Ta'ala can make for us to for our sins to be forgiven. And this really, I feel, is the marifat of Ibn Taymiyyah Rahmatullah. Whatever may be other things, Ajeeb, he has some marifat also. He says, Rahmatullahi wa afwuhu wa maghfiratuhu bila sabab min al-ibad. Bila sabab. Allahu Akbar. Tenth way means that, okay, even this person, such a big sinner, that Nabi Akram some shifa'a for him will not be accepted. Nine strikes down. Allahu Akbar. So now Allah Ta'ala will send His mercy, His rahmah, His afwa, His pardoning, His maghfirah, His forgiveness. Bila sabab, it's not due to anything the person ever did. The person did nothing to earn this mercy, nothing to deserve this mercy, nothing to attract this mercy. Allah Ta'ala, out of His own mercy, will choose to forgive that person for their sins. Allahu Akbar. Ajeeb. So Nabi Akram, some is hadith in Mishkat, that Nabi Akram mentioned to us. So I told you earlier, what's the most minimum punishment of Jahannam? Now I'll tell you in hadith, what's the maximum punishment of Jahannam? What's the most punishment a person will get? Who gets taken out? What the most is forever. But who is the last person to be taken out of Jahannam? That's also in hadith. Ajeeb. What will happen is that everything will have finished. Day of judgment will have finished. The people of Jannah will be in Jannah. The people of Jahannam will be in Jahannam. And billions and billions and billions of years would have passed. And then Allah Ta'ala will ask the people of Jannah, that Ya Ahlul Jannah, is to look into Jahannam. I want you to look inside Jahannam. And if there's anybody you recognize at all that they ever had, even the faintest trace, the slightest drop of iman, now I want that you point them out to me, and out of my mercy I will take them out from Jahannam. So all of the Ahl al-Jannah will look at all of the Ahl al-Jannah. And whoever they know, and they will do what Allah said, whoever they knew had the slightest, faintest trace or drop of iman, they will tell Allah Ta'ala, that all of a sudden this was that person. Yeah, I saw that person on Eid once. No? Yes? At least in Pakistan, that's how it is. Huh? I saw that person on Eid once. They will tell, one by one, they will tell Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala will take them out, take them out, take them out, take them out. When all Ahl al-Jannah are done, Allah Ta'ala will ask them, oh Ahl al-Jannah, is there anyone else? And every single person in Jannah will respond to Allah Ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, no. No, I don't know anyone else in there that from my knowledge has even the faintest trace of iman, the slightest drop of iman. Then Nabi Kareem said, then Allah Ta'ala will take out two groups of people. The wording is two scoopfuls, but obviously Allah Ta'ala doesn't have hands in that sense. Two sets of people, two groups of people. But the reason the Prophet used this word scoop, that when you scoop, you're trying to take out the most you can, right? I'm trying to take out maximum that I can. So Allah Ta'ala will himself use his kudrat and take out two scoopfuls of people. So the Ahl al-Jannah will ask, Ya Allah, who are these people? Because none of us, we could never discover any trace of iman in them. So Allah Ta'ala will say, yeah, these are those people who had, yes, a very faint, such a small drop of iman in me that their whole life, no one ever even came to know that they had this drop of iman, but I, Allah, I knew they had this iman. This is when we work with the youth, we tell them this. Those youth who think they're atheists, you say, you're not atheists, it's not that easy. It's not easy to erase this iman that easily. You know, even the lead pencil, kachi pencil, lead graphite pencil, when you write and then you erase it, even when the best eraser is not fully erased, you put it under the microphone, you can see a little bit of that lead graphite carbon there. These people, they just think they're erasing their iman. They haven't erased. It's qadr, you were born Muslim, you were born mu'min, it's not so easy to erase it. You think you got impressed with one philosophy professor and you say the word atheist about yourself, it's not so easy. You can't erase it that easily. Alhamdulillah, this iman is mazboot. This iman is mazboot. So Allah Ta'ala will take those people out. Allahu Akbar. Then, now the hadith continues, they will be taken out, but they will be charred and blackened beyond recognition as a human. Because they had been burning in Jahannam for so many, many, many years. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So then Allah Ta'ala will take them out, and then Allah Ta'ala will dip them in Hawz-e Kawthar. The believers who went straight to Jannah, they just drank from Hawz-e Kawthar. These, their ghusl will be done in Hawz-e Kawthar. When they're taken out of Hawz-e Kawthar, then they will be reformed, re-intact again. Then Allah Ta'ala will put one stamp on their forehead, Utaqa'ur Rahman, that these are those particular slaves that were just freed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like in this world, our deen had this thing that you free a slave, you become his mawla. So there was a notion that, oh, he's the person who freed me. I was a slave and he freed me. So Allah Ta'ala will do the same thing with them. And Allah Ta'ala, now there are different ways you can, now this is my interpretation I'm giving you. Allah Ta'ala doesn't do this to mark them or any way. Allah Ta'ala doesn't do this to stigmatize them. Allah Ta'ala is doing it out of his love for them, that look, you are my freed ones. You are Utaqa'ur Rahman. So they go into Jannah. So Allah Ta'ala turn them into Jannah. So they go into Jannah, and again, the hadith doesn't say how long passes, but some time clearly passes. Some Allahu Alam, millions of years pass. And Allah Ta'ala asks them, that, oh my freed ones, huh? Oh Utaqa'ur Rahman, oh my freed ones, how do you find it here? They said, oh Allah, huh? That was such a terrible place for us. And this is Ba'sa, huh? That was the worst, most abominable place for us. And this is the most wonderful, gracious place for us. Allah Ta'ala asks, is there anything you want? Anything you want? They said, yes. Ya Allah, even though we know, now this is my interpretation, that you put this here, Utaqa'ur Rahman, out of love. So actually, hadith says, they will say, Ya Allah, we want, yes, one thing, that remove this stamp from our forehead. Why? Because it's the only thing that still reminds us of that past. It's the one thing that reminds us still. So we want Allah that you remove it from us. So Allah says, okay. And Allah says, remove this stamp from their forehead that they're Utaqa'ur Rahman. This is the last person to leave Jahannam. Last person to enter Jannah. And me and you, I told you before, we can't handle, even you touch a hot kettle, you go, ouch. Huh? That wasn't even fire. It was just something heated by the fire. Do you know how hot the fire of Jahannam is? Because it comes in a deed that the people in Jahannam, they won't be able to see. So it doesn't make sense. They won't be able to see because fire is also a source of light, right? We know this, that fire gives heat, but fire also gives light. So science explains this, that there are different colors of fire. You would have seen this in your stove. There's orange, red, then there's blue, right? The higher color you get, the hotter it is. So the blue is hotter than the red is hotter than the orange. So we can imagine, science can conceive, of the most absolute hottest fire possible would be pitch black. Because the hotter it gets, the darker the fire. So the fire of Jahannam is the absolute hottest fire possible. Constantly getting fire. It's so hot, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, that parts of it consume parts of the other. It can also mean that parts of it fuel parts of the other. Itself is the fuel for itself. It's so hot. So that's why it's pitch black. Allahu Akbar. Pitch black fire. Blacker than the black hole. That's how black the fire of Jahannam will be. Al-Aman al-Hafiz. Huh? Allahumma ajirna min al-nar. We can't. There's no, we don't have that ability. So better that we make use of those methods, those ways, that are actually just bahana for Allah Ta'ala. But for us, they're lifelines. Huh? For Allah Ta'ala, they're bahana. Huh? Means for Allah Ta'ala, it's just an excuse to forgive our sin. But for us, they're lifelines. We should grab onto all of these ways, and we should try to get our sins forgiven in this world. We get our sins forgiven before we show up to Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. May Allah Ta'ala accept this niyat from us. May He accept our true tawbah on this night. May He make us amongst the forgiven ones. Before we rise from this gathering, may He proclaim, Kumu Magfurin, that rise up in a state that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven you. Wa akhir da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Before we make dua, we're going to make ijtimai tawbah. Because one thing we can do tonight is start with number one on the list. Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, Tubu ilallahi jami'a ayyuhal mu'minun la'allakum tuflihun. That make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala all together. Jami'a ayyuhal mu'minun, all believers. La'allakum tuflihun, so that you may be successful in that tawbah. Why? The ulama mashayikh, they taught us the reason why ijtimai tawbah is more successful. Is that if we make tawbah together in a gathering, if any one person makes true tawbah in their heart and their tawbah is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will accept it in such a way that He will send His mercy and maghfirah down on the whole gathering and accept tawbah of the whole gathering. Allahu Akbar. So alhamdulillah, we had opportunity to gather tonight, and every one of us should try to be that one. Every one of us should make niyat, yeah, I want to make true tawbah tonight. I want to make real tawbah tonight. I want never to go back to my sins after tonight. So tubu ilallahi jami'a. Make tawbah all together. So the method of our mashayikh for this is we will recite some words together of tawbah. Two types of words. They're words of iman and words of istighfar. Words of iman, why? Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, jaddidu imanukum, that you should renew your iman. So when we recite the words of iman, your heart should feel like this, that, Ya Allah, I'm believing in you all over again. I want to start from scratch. May assarino apne aapko aapke hawala karna. I'm pledging my heart to you again. I'm giving myself to you all over again. And words of istighfar means seeking Allah's forgiveness. So the feeling there is, Ya Allah, I'm begging you, please. I'm saying sorry, Ya Allah. Forgive me for the sins that I did. Forgive me for the sins I remember. Forgive me for the sins that I forget. And I'm turning to you in tawbah. Then our mashayikh teach another thing. After a person makes true tawbah, then they need help in how to be true to their tawbah. Eke sachi tawbah, eke pakki tawbah. They make true tawbah, then they need help in how to be true to their tawbah. Being helped in how to remain true to tawbah, that is called tazkiyah. That to purify our heart and to keep purifying it, to keep working on it, to keep doing islah, that's called tazkiyah. So in order to do tazkiyah, everybody needs a teacher. Even Sahaba Ikram needed a teacher. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ Nabi Kareem Sam was the muzakki of the Sahaba. Every tabi had a teacher from Sahaba Ikram who did their tazkiyah. And this continued from generation to generation to generation. Now we have come to you after 10 years. Because we came, Sheikh told us to come in 2002, we came in 2002. Sheikh told us to come in 2003, we came in 2003. Sheikh told us to come in 2004, we came in 2004. Sheikh was silent after that, I never came back again. Yes? 2014, Sheikh told me in Australia, go to South Africa. Allahu Akbar, I've done 10 years have passed. Huh? Hafiz Sahib remembers. Huh? 10 years have passed. I was surprised. Sheikh told me, go to South Africa and bring the teachings of this nisbat and zikr to people of South Africa. Allahu Akbar. So now we came.